In Philippians 3, Paul writes, "If anyone else has reason to put their confidence in physical advantages, I have even more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am from the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. With respect to observing the law, I'm a Pharisee. With respect to devotion to the faith, I harass the church. With respect to righteousness under the law, I'm blameless. These things were my assets, but I wrote them off as a loss for the sake of Christ. But even beyond that, I consider everything a loss in comparison with the superior value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have lost everything for Him, but what I lost, I think of as sewer trash, so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. In Christ, I have a righteousness that is not my own and that does not come from the law, but rather from the faithfulness of Christ. It is the righteousness of God that is based on faith. The righteousness that I have comes from knowing Christ, the power of His resurrection, and the participation in His sufferings. It includes being conformed to His death so that I may perhaps reach the goal of the resurrection of the dead. It's not that I have already reached this goal or have already been perfected, but I pursue it so that I may grab hold of it because Christ grabbed hold of me for just this purpose. Brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it, but I do this one thing. I forget about the things behind me and reach out for the things ahead of me. The goal I pursue is the prize of God's upward call in Christ Jesus." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we are thankful for your love, thankful for your call upon our lives, thankful for the things that you have done for us in the past. Thank you for the lives that we have lived, enjoying that presence and that privilege of knowing you. Lord, we ask that you would minister to us in this time together. We ask that you would speak to us, that you would nurture us, that you would empower us, that we may be the people that you call us and desire to equip us to be. We pray this in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. The story is told of a major university that had experienced a tremendous turnaround in their football program. They had surprised everyone with how well they had done, probably including themselves. The next spring, as they were beginning their pre-training for the next season, the coach had little awards for the players, and they cheered each other on as he would read off what they had accomplished and how they had improved and all of these things. And they would cheer one another on. Finally, an assistant coach presented the coach with a placard of how he had been named as coach of the year or turnaround coach of the year. The coach took the placard admiringly and then longingly looked at it and then dumped it into the trash can. The players knew it wasn't about what they had done the year before. It was what they would do, and that the work was beginning again. Each of the players followed the coach's example of dropping those awards. Those things that had seemed so important just a few brief minutes before, that now they realized that it really didn't matter what they had done before. What mattered is what they continued to do. The season they had little to nothing to do with the season ahead. Isaiah and Paul have similar messages. They both call us to forget the past. Now, by that, they don't mean an actual forgetting, of course, but don't live there. The bishop tells the story of a woman who said, "I want my 1956 church back." It's not going to happen. The 1956 church is never going to be here again. It is going to be a new thing that God is doing each and every day. And we cannot live in the past. We cannot live on how bad we've been or how good we've been or all that we have accomplished or even all we have failed to accomplish. That isn't where we live. It isn't where the scriptures call us to live. We are called to live in this day. We are called to live with eyes wide open to where God may be leading us today and in the days ahead. Isaiah wrote at a mixed stage for Israel. Israel was looking longingly back at the deliverance from Egypt. It was their rite of passage that God has loved us so much that He brought us out of Egypt. That God parted the Red Sea for us. Isn't it fantastic? Even the parting of the Jordan River just didn't compare in their minds, in their thoughts, to that great event, that hallmark, as it were, of their lives as a nation. That God brought us out of Egypt. God literally parted the sea and let us cross on dry land. And God, Isaiah says, is telling us, you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay. Don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on what happened at this point. They were now a conquered people. conquered and living in Babylon, writing laments and psalms. But Isaiah, or some will say second Isaiah, writes of this turnaround that God is planning. No, it won't be an exodus from Egypt, but it will be just as great an exodus. It will be an exodus from captivity. It will be a brand new thing that God is doing. It will be a brand new opportunity, a brand new blessing to live and to serve God and to know God's presence with them. That God will part the desert, as it were, to allow them to return and to find the joy and the presence of the Lord with them. Whether we've been up and out like the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son, or the down and out as the prodigal, we know that we are a sinner undeserving of grace. But whether we know it or we don't, all of us are sinners undeserving of grace. If we deserved it, it wouldn't be grace. God loves us and reaches out to us. As I read Paul's account there in Philippians, I can see that coach. I can see Paul taking this old list of all his accomplishments, of all of the things that had seemed so important, all of these milestones in his life, and just unceremoniously dumping them in the trash can or the dumpster. Maybe it was a much heavier load. But as he dumped it, he said, "This is no longer who I am." That these things were important at the time, those things are not important now. What is important now is that God is with us. What is important now is that Christ Jesus has died for us, and God is in relationship with us right now, desiring a personal relationship with us right now. This is not ancient history. This is a living, dynamic faith that continues to reach out to a God who continues to reach out to us in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit ministering to us, giving us what we need day by day. We didn't read the 12th chapter of John this morning. If we had, we would have found the reminder of Lazarus having been resurrected, and there's a party, a banquet going on, that there's a celebration in honor of Jesus that Lazarus and Mary and Martha are giving for Jesus. And that in the midst of this, that Mary takes this expensive jar of a perfume, of pure nard, a Roman pound's worth, literally 12 ounces. I suppose the Roman pounds were downsized like so many of the things that we find in the downsizing in our grocery aisles. But regardless, it was valuable. Judas blows his stack and says, "What a waste! What a waste! This money could, this thing could have been sold and given for the poor. This is worth a year's wages. Now, of course, he was basing that on the fact that there was no work on the Sabbath, and there around 300 denarii. He was saying, this, a person could work all year and never earn enough to do this. This could have done so much good. Of course, John will also tell us that Judas was also looking out for himself in the process. That he wasn't really looking out for the poor. He wasn't really looking out to serve. But he was looking out for himself. And Jesus instead says, what Mary has done is a beautiful thing. This woman who has wastefully poured this extravagant gift of expensive perfume on his feet and has dried those same feet with her hair. You may be going, ugh. But that's not how Jesus responded, is it? Jesus responded, leave her alone. She's done a beautiful thing. She has shown me this compassion and love. It's no wonder that with friends like Lazarus and Mary and Martha, that Bethany was such a warm and wonderful memory in the life of Jesus. And the difference that those people made as they ministered not only on this occasion, but on others to the Lord Jesus. He was a Christian pastor in West Africa. He had tried to witness to his neighbors in this Muslim nation, but they didn't want to hear it. He had witnessed in a neighboring village and they had literally run him out of town. So he entered an Islamic school. And while there, he undertook the dirtiest and the nastiest jobs that nobody else wanted to do, and gained the respect of other students. And then he took the opportunity to introduce them to Jesus. And not only that, but when he had graduated from that Islamic school, because he had graduated from an Islamic school, he had the right to go into any mosque and to teach. Always teaching of Jesus. A lot of people raised eyebrows and wondered, but not those whose lives were touched for the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus because of his boldness and his risk that he had taken. She was a young single mother. So writes Max Licato. And a neighboring older woman offered to watch her child, to give her those breaks that she needed, to get groceries, to do other things. She was grateful. Finally, the woman did a little more. She shared with her faith in Christ Jesus. And because of what she had seen in this woman, she in turn gave her heart to Jesus. Well, some of her friends and her neighbors said, do you have any idea what that church teaches? She said, all I know is that they held my baby. Literally, they were there for me. In the name of Jesus. Comes down to us. Do others see Christ in us, in our actions? Do we have that vital living experience that is renewed and refreshed day by day, and that we walk with Him? That we point others to Jesus in the way that we live and act out our faith. May it be so. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for your love and your call upon our lives. Help us, O Lord, to be the people you call us to be, to serve with faithfulness and a heart of love, renewed and refreshed daily in Christ Jesus. Amen.